Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, I didn't switch it. I don't switch it.
After the show is the after party there. After the party is the hotel lobby there. After the bell be there. And after the original is probably there.
If you buy it, get them up. I mean you bought it by.
I
represent
to Atlanta where the players play. And we ride on them things like every day. Big beats hit streets, see gangsters roaming. And parties don't stop till 8 in the morning.
Tell them how they do in Cincinnati.
Okay, we get it. Start the show.
Be back, America.
Get up.
Yes, sir. Never gets old.
That's, you know, yeah, that's what's up, man. That's how we kick it off, man. Of course, talking sports the 12th, man. It is Wednesday, March the 22nd, and we had a little week off, but we are back in full effect. Let's kick it off. As always, I'm your host, Andre Peterson. Let's kick it out with my other co-hosts who are wearing crazy outfits. I hope they're not crazy, wearing crazy outfits like Dwayne Wade. This is JQ, Jaquan Jenkins. How you feeling this evening, sir?
Man, I was ready to go to like K&G and give me like a Steve Harvey like 6-piece suit after I seen Dwayne Wade do that. Like if he can do that, you know, what about me? You know, give me like
anyone
a pastel,
can,
like some like. I'm good, bro, man. How you doing?
I gotta say, JQ, if you wear anything that's like closed, then you've beaten Dwayne Wade. So there you go, bro. Let's kick it out with my other co-host. Now, we give Rob a hard time, but he did be posting some interesting suits, man. So he's all up in that country, man. What's up, Rob? How you doing this evening, sir?
Yes, he does.
Hey, man, one of my nicknames is Mr. GQ, so I got to live by it. Got to make it do what it do, baby.
Yes, sir.
Them Easter suits
we were waiting
for
you, JQ. LSU.
Oh, yeah. I know I'm going to have that fly pink suit on now, man. You better watch with that butterfly collar. You better watch it.
Mm-mm-mm. I'm waiting on the post. I'm waiting on it. We're getting close to Easter.
With that pink
you know
hat,
coming.
Too, to go with it. Ooh.
No, man. You're going to get a green fedora?
Real men wear pink.
Put a green feather on it.
Real men wear pink.
Oh,
Dr. Dre, how you doing, man? Our condolences go out to you and your family and with
for
losing
sure.
your grandmother. And so our prayers are definitely with you and glad you're back with us this week.
Thank you, sir.
Absolutely.
Thank you, sir. Very much appreciated. So nothing beats getting back to normal. Last week I was a mess, man, so I couldn't have pulled it off, man. So I appreciate you guys and the patience in America. So a lot of love, but it does feel good to get back and talk some sports. So thank you, and let's kind of get started. As always, if you want to call out to us, reach out to us, the best way to call us is the 424-243-9519 number. That's one way. We are on Twitter. If you go to the number 12, THMAN Sports, that's our handle. And then final, last but not least, we're on Facebook. I got to post some more since Rob has pretty much posted everything about the Saints, but that's all good. You want to follow us on Facebook.com/12MinuteSports, or you put Talking Sports with 12 Minutes.
Man, I post up about all the things.
It seemed like last week was like,
the Pelicans.
Saints
this.
Hey, that's a personal page. That's different.
I'm just messing with you.
It was on the main
Talking
page,
sports,
too, bro.
That's worldwide sports.
You were talking about Manti Te'o. I'm like, is that a real contract or a fake contract? We don't even know, bro.
Yeah. Who's going to be the next coach in Tulane?
Is he bringing his girlfriend with him, right?
Yeah, that should be a story, bro. Man, that should have died a long time ago. That's never going to get old, man. Poor Manti. All right. Let's talk about this, fellas. We got a lot of things to talk about, and we got to catch up because all the jokes are fresh and everything like that, too. So right now we are still kind of – we're obviously in the middle of NCAA. We'll talk about that. We'll talk about some NBA. Spring training is wrapping up, so we're getting started for the season, so we're excited about this, too. So let's kick it off, guys. And let's talk about some 5 NFL teams that need a QB. I love the fact that Rob put this badly. Not like, you know, but like badly. I already have some ideas in my head, just like you, JQ, but we're going to let Rob kick it off.
Yeah.
And who are your teams that need a QB badly, in your words, sir?
All right, well, let's go. Obviously, we got to start off with Cleveland.
Oh,
a team with the number one pick in the NFL draft. They've tried out 1,303,000 QBs since 1998, and none of them have worked. And we're not exaggerating, people. That's pretty much an exact number. And they just had bad luck, whether they picked them early in the draft, whether they signed them off the street, whether they traded for one, whether they signed them via free agency. It doesn't matter. However they acquired the QBs, none of them have worked. And obviously this is a team in desperate need of a signal caller. And I'm not sure that this year is going to be any different because based on their slotting, I mean, they could possibly get one in the draft. But there's no surefire QBs in this draft. I mean, there's some guys that possibly can be a franchise quarterback. But there's not a guy in this draft that you can look at and say he's a surefire franchise quarterback in this draft. And so I think when it comes down to Cleveland, they're going to go by and pick the best players available and hope that they can get a quarterback later. And a quarterback will come into a situation with a lot of talent on the team. They're not going to pass Myles Garrett up at number one. You can possibly reach for a quarterback at number 12, like a Deshaun Watson or something like that. And even in the early part of the second round, if you draft a quarterback, once again, he's not a surefire prospect. So we'll see. I'm sure at some point in this draft they will take one. We'll just have to wait and see at what point they're willing to take that risk. Same goes for the San Francisco 49ers at number two. I don't believe they feel like there's a quarterback worth taking at the number two position. So I think as well they will also pass up on a quarterback and possibly take a guy like a Patrick Mahomes in the second round if he's still there at number 34. Let's go to Chicago. Obviously, they signed Mike Glennon. I don't think you can be convinced that he's your answer at the quarterback position either. They let Jay Cutler go. So here's another situation of a team obviously picking number three. And it's going to be very interesting. I've had Trubisky slotted there for quite some time. But even Trubisky may be falling out of the top five in this draft as well. The New York Jets. I think they just brought in Josh McCown. He's an NFL journeyman at the quarterback position. There's been some talk about them possibly giving Cutler a look. I'm not sure if that's going to happen, but this is another team in desperate need of a quarterback, and I don't see them spending a first-round draft pick on one either. And the next team will be the Houston Texans. Obviously, you just traded your starting quarterback, Brock Osweiler. So, you know, we have to wait and see what they decide to do in the draft. I don't have them taking a quarterback in the first round either at the moment. I do have them taking a chance on Davis Webb, quarterback from Cal in the second rounder, who's a fast riser as well, at the 57th spot. So we'll see what they're able to do with the quarterback position. But those are my five teams.
JQ.
Yeah, and I think Cleveland might draft Uncle Rico in the seventh round because they just are a dumpster fire. And you talk about second-round picks not being a surefire. Hello, Christian Hackenberg for the Jets. So, yeah, I agree with all those. And I'm going to go a little bit off the board because I figured you would probably hit those five. I'm going to say Jacksonville because I don't think Blake Bortles is the aggression he had this past year. I don't know if you can count on him to be that guy for you. They've got good wide receiver depth at this point. They need a running back, but they really are starting to beef up that defense. They're getting almost to that point where Houston is, where you're looking at them like they have the talent, but they don't have – a signal caller that you can just say, yeah, we that's that guy. We're going to, you know, ride him to a playoff. So not even, you know, take Super Bowl out of it, just a playoff berth. And then also in there, I think the same way about Denver. They've got a load of talent on that defense as well. Got really good wide receivers as well. And, you know, the jury's still out on Paxton Lynch and Trevor Siemian. I'm not sure you can count those guys either. So, you know, those teams that are built to win right now, like a Houston, like Rob mentioned, I think also need a quarterback. And I got one controversial one for you because I like him as a quarterback, but I think he has definitely a ceiling, and he's hit his ceiling, and that's Tyrod Taylor for Buffalo. I think Buffalo also needs a quarterback. I think he is what he is, but I don't think he's much more than a 8-8, 9-7. If everything falls right, maybe a 10-6 quarterback without a whole lot of talent around him. But I just don't see him being that guy to elevate a team to get them over that hump. And you mentioned San Francisco, and it's really interesting this year, you know, them getting rid of Chip Kelly. And you look at it, I think if Chip Kelly was still there, Deshaun Watson may go too to San Francisco, because, I mean, the way the offense he would like to run, you know, I think Deshaun Watson is going to end up being a Vince Young with some common sense. You know what I mean? Like, Vince Young had all the talent, but he was just an idiot. So, you know, his ceiling was his idiotness. But I don't think you had that problem with Deshaun Watson. So, you know, it's weird how that happens. I think it's going to cost Deshaun some money, because I think you could almost avoid that in pen that Chip Kelly would have taken Deshaun Watson. So those are my, you know, three off the radar after the five that I agree with Rob that he pointed out.
Yeah, that Buffalo, that's really interesting, because I thought really long and hard about putting them in the top five as well. So I somewhat agree with that one as well. The Blake Bortles one, I think this past season the Jacksonville offensive line was just atrocious. So I'm willing to, if I'm Jacksonville, I'm willing to give him another shot and try to see if you can fix that offensive line. I think I've mentioned to this to Andre off the air, not comparing Blake Bortles to Matt Ryan, but we saw the difference with Matt Ryan this year compared to last year when his offensive line was atrocious. And so I'd be willing to give Blake Bortles another shot to see if you can fix that offensive line, because last year he really had a really good year prior to this past season. And so I would be willing to see what he can do if they can fix that offensive line in Jacksonville.
Yeah,
just for the sake of argument.
Just so badly. Go ahead. Sorry.
Yeah, it was bad, too. No, but I'm with you, though. I mean, good call, man. And I'm going to agree with you. I mean, I want to go kind of off the radar because everyone thought we knew we were going to pick Cleveland and San Francisco. But, you know, these are questions, too. I mean, what about Arizona? I mean, at the end of Carson Palmer's, you know, he's kind of, I mean, they're going to need a quarterback, too. Also, I know this is kind of interesting, too, as well. If you kind of think about it, is Sam Bradford really the answer with the Vikings? I mean, he did decent, and then he kind of saw he left the game in his hands, had a huge start, but then they kind of faded, man. So, I mean, I'm not saying that he's the worst thing ever, but, you know, a couple things to think about, too. And Chicago's going all in, Rob, on Mike Glennon, man. So I'm kind of interested to see that one. But, you know, that's a good call, man. I mean, well, you know, he's unproven right now, so at this juncture he's no better than Brock Osweiler if you look at it. But, again, you know, hopefully he's got the you know, we'll see what's going to happen to as well, man. But great calls on that, and I agree with you, JQ, about Buffalo and Tyrod Taylor too. Just another one, and you know, it seems like the Jets, man, they haven't seemed to grab their quarterback, man, since Joe Namath. It feels like, bro, it's been a minute, man. So you know, anyway, we'll talk about that, we'll keep.
You mentioned Arizona. I do currently in my latest mock draft having them taking Deshaun Watson at 13. Obviously, they're not a team that needs a quarterback right this second. That's why I didn't put them in there in the top five. But I do think that they will spend a high draft pick on a quarterback to prepare for Carson Palmer retiring.
Interesting.
Yeah, Arizona's a great call.
Yeah, we'll see about that, too. All right, gentlemen, let's kind of keep it more since Rob mentioned. Let's talk about the NFL mock draft, Rob, and kind of kick this off, too, man. So it is getting close. We've got a couple more weeks for that last week in April. So go ahead and kick this off, bro.
Well, I mean, obviously this is an ongoing thing here, and the only thing I still have the same is 1 and 2, Garrett to Cleveland, Jonathan Allen to San Francisco. I have Solomon Thomas going to Jacksonville at 4, Marshawn Lattimore to Tennessee at 5, Jamal Adams to the Jets, Delvin Cook to your Bengals, Reuben Foster to the New Orleans Saints, Mike Williams, the wide receiver from Clemson, going to Cleveland. I just mentioned Deshaun Watson, quarterback to Arizona. Just some other names here, O.J. Howard, tight end, Alabama, to the Washington Redskins, Jabril Peppers to Tampa Bay, Deshaun Kizer, have him going 27 to Kansas City. And, of course, your Atlanta Falcons, I still haven't taken Caleb Brantley, defensive tackle from Florida at 31. And my New Orleans Saints, again, at 32, picking Charles Harris, defensive end from Missouri. I even give you all a little second-round love. Cincinnati, Forrest Lamp, offensive guard, Western Kentucky at 41. 42 for New Orleans, Budda Baker, safety for the Washington Huskies, and even the Atlanta Falcons in the second round. Rockwan McMillan, linebacker from Ohio State.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
There's a little teaspoon of my mock draft here. Should be getting the third round update soon.
Go ahead and comment on that, JQ.
Yeah, I think all the Bengals fans will set themselves on fire if they draft Dalvin Cook at number 9. We got to go defense in the first round. We just do. I think them, and you could be right in the second round, offensive guard, when you let Kevin Zeitler go to Cleveland for that insane amount of money, and we're going to the Rams. But yeah, I can't really quibble with a lot of that. San Francisco to me is a serious wild card too, because I've also seen them taking Solomon Thomas in other mock drafts.
Yeah,
they need help on the defensive end, on the defensive side of the ball. So if they don't draft a quarterback that they fall in love with throughout this process, I definitely see them going defensive on the second pick in the draft. But the other pieces, mm-hmm. I think, is still just so fluid. I still think Reuben Foster. I told you before, when Reuben Foster start beefing with the dude in the hospital tent, that to me let me know that he was going to be a Cincinnati Bengal. You can stamp it. You can write it in Sharpie. That's going to happen. I just we are home for wayward souls. That's just what happens to us. I can't call it.
Oh, man.
But the Falcons pick I like as well. If they end up with Raekwon McMillan, and I know I'm a homer, but he's solid. You put him with Devondre Campbell and Deion Jones, and man, you got a young, athletic, fast linebacking core in Atlanta. That would be sick if they were able to pull that off.
You're cracking me up, JQ, man. That's hilarious. Oh, man, that's why I said wrong.
Trying to reincarnate the Jailblazers, right?
Yeah, that's what we're doing.
Jailblazers.
That's who we are.
Oh,
that's
man.
Who we are.
Rasheed
home for wayward souls.
Bonzi Wells.
He said
yes, sir.
They would set themselves on fire. This is FM set themselves on fire if they grabbed the Dalvin Cook. Oh, man. Interesting enough, I mean, for our pick, I'm not quite sure where to go because we've done some interesting things in free agency getting Ontario Poe, which is a pretty big move. I'm not sure if Caleb Brantley is going to be the answer now because of that move right there. Even defensive end, I mean, we're probably going to add a pass rusher. Not quite sure, so I'm thinking either guard and or free safety-ish is kind of what I'm thinking at that particular area. We do need some linebacker depth. I love Buda Baker, man. That's my guy right there, man. But I don't know if he's going to be around for the second pick. So at this juncture, I'm not really sure where they're going to go. They may literally take the best player available, whether it's there's a pretty deep draft of pass rusher, so we'll probably maybe address that and then get our guard in the second pick. I do love Forrest Lamp. I love Dan Feeney and also love Dorian Johnson. Man, those are my guys. But I'm really not quite sure where we're going to go here, man. But I'm actually going to trust the process, man. So – he's drafted. He's defensive guys. Yeah, it's kind of weird, but he's Dan Quinn has done a good job of developing guys and drafting guys from the defensive side. So, I have no complaints. I am curious. Rob, did you have Malik? Who's the safety from Ohio State? It's slipping my mind, Jake.
Malik Hooker.
Malik Hooker.
Is he going
going
pretty
to Carolina high? Carolina right now, number 8.
Yeah, okay.
I think pick, too. Yeah, go ahead.
If it's not Sean Taylor or Ed Reed, and I'm not convinced, and I've seen him play, he's got all kinds of athleticism, but he didn't necessarily bring the wood like those two guys could as well. And you go top 10 for a safety. I mean, he's good, and I think he's benefiting from what Errol Thomas has done for Seattle in that aspect.
Yeah.
But, for me, I think that's a little too high for him. But all the mock drafts I've seen, I'm not going to knock Rob, have him consistently in the top 10 going somewhere. I've seen him go to the Chargers. Been in that top 10, so I can't knock that. I just from a standpoint of looking at just the safety position and buying it at that high, I need a other world kind of player and talent like a Reed or Sean Taylor, and I don't know if he fits that mold at this point.
Yeah, NFL teams the value of the safety position has actually gone up in the last few years. Yeah, 10, 15 years ago, I mean, you really have to be a real stud. To be a safety that went that high in the draft. I think you had LaRon Landry going number 6 at one point. You mentioned Sean Taylor.
Mm-hmm.
I think Ed Reed went number 20 in the draft, so he wasn't even drafted that high overall. But right now, the way teams are using the safety position, and a lot of times now, and a lot of NFL teams are only keeping two linebackers on the field for most of the game, in a safety position is actually, you know, covering and getting in the box. They're doing a lot more these days with the safety position. And a lot of NFL teams are deploying three safeties on the field at the same time. So the value of the safety position has actually gone up probably here in the last 5 years. And that's why you're probably going to see two of them going to top 10, Jamal Adams from LSU and Malik Hooker in this draft.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a passing league.
Good call. And that's the thing, too. You know, like Rob mentioned, I think you're going to have players that are pretty versatile that can play, like, multiple roles. So, you know, if there's a guy that can also play a little drop tag, play a little linebacker, play a little, you know, nickel, you know, that's something that's going to be a huge thing, too. That's what I think about Jabril Peppers. I mean, I hate mentioning that around you, JQ, but there's guys that are, like,
that's,
you know, versatile that can – yeah, but, you know, it's interesting. Any surprises that you think for the mock draft from this juncture right now? I mean, it's really early. There's been a lot of movement right now. Do you think we're going to get, like, one of those surprise trades, JQ, or do you think it's going to kind of be straightforward right now in your estimation?
No, I think you're going to get one of those surprise trades because you're going to find a team, and I keep hammering it because it just seems to happen every year because of the value of the quarterback position where they artificially rise and teams fall in love with somebody when they put him in, bring him in, he's good on the whiteboard, and, you know, and they run him through some drills, and they rise higher than we think they should, and, you know, throughout this whole process leading up to the draft. So I think you're going to have those trades. It's like when we talk about the NCAA tournament, you have to pick upsets because you know they're going to happen. Same thing with the NFL draft. You're going to get some trades up because somebody's going to fall in love with a quarterback that they probably shouldn't at that level. It's not necessarily he's a bad player, but for the value that they're getting and giving up to getting, I think somebody's going to do it. And you can go to those quarterback-needy teams that we talked about earlier. I feel like, especially like a Cleveland, with all that ammunition that they have now in terms of draft picks,
I agree.
That they could definitely try to move up and get one. So I do think that. There's one outside that I saw from an SI.com mock draft, and they had O.J. Howard, I think, like in the top 15. And I was like, I don't know about that. You know, it's like if they do that, they're going to get hammered. You know, he's not that he's a bad player, but a top 15 for him, I mean, he's got the talent. But, you know, he for the talent he has, he disappeared too often for my taste at Alabama. And
I have him going 17 to the Redskins at the moment.
You know, people are falling in love with him. I just don't know if I could do that for somebody with that kind of talent who disappeared as often as he did.
That may be the quarterback play, though, JQ, because, you know, he's a freshman. You know, Jalen Hurts was a freshman too, man. So, you know, not that that's a total knock on him as well, but you got to remember that as well. That's what I would say from that. But, Rob, anything else you want to comment about that before we wrap up the mock draft here? Anything you want to say about that? Any surprises you think or what?
No, I think a couple of guys that I think you may see rise in this draft even more is Haason Reddick, linebacker from Temple. He's becoming a fast riser in his draft. Right now, I have him going 22 to Miami. I can easily see him move up into the top 15 in his draft at some point. He'll be a name to watch. Joe Mixon, he's going to be really interesting
to
see what organization
Cincinnati
pulls
Bengals.
The trigger
yes, sir,
on him.
You know it.
Right now, I can easily see him going to the third round, and that's kind of where I have him going right now in the third round. So it's going to be interesting to see what team pulls that trigger, and I think whoever gets him is going to get an electrifying football player. If he stays out of trouble, whoever gets him is going to get a steal. It's just a matter of who's willing to take that risk on him.
Go ahead, JQ. Right out of your alley.
If you turn that LL Cool J off, you know, I'm sorry, I don't mean to make light of it. But, it's going to be hard to overcome, especially when it's on video. And you nailed it. I agree. If he's there in the third round for the Bengals, you got to remember the Bengals are at the top of the third round. I could definitely see them pulling the trigger on Mixon. But the thing about it, Cincinnati is one of those cities that if he keeps his nose clean, he can kind of fade in the background some way. I mean, he's not going to be able to totally get away the same way that Tyreek Hill going to a Kansas City. You know, you can fade a little bit, but, you know, if you go to a New York or an L.A. or a Chicago or a D.C., you know, they're going to run with that front page six, whatever, all the time. But a city like Cincinnati where, you know, you get a little, you know, blow up at the beginning when you draft them, but then when, you know, you have a slower-paced kind of city that's not, you know, one of the bigger cities in the country, that you can kind of fall in line if you keep your nose clean. So I agree. I think I'm sorry not to mention Mixon, but he's definitely getting a lot of private workouts. And that whole keeping from the combine is not having the attendant consequences that the NFL thought it was going to have.
I hope this doesn't happen. But will the Las Vegas Raiders, actually happen? I hope not, to dear God. But What do you think about this, JQ? Will it actually happen?
Yep. Because, you know, money, 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 money. Hey, when Bank of America stepped in with $750 million, I think it is, that they're contributing to the new stadium, Jacobs and the boy that the Sacks left, I think that pretty much sealed the deal. And the fact that Oakland, just as a city, is broke. And they don't have the money to really put forth a state-of-the-art kind of a stadium. And that's why you see Golden State moving out as well here soon. And I think you're going to have the same thing with the Raiders. It sucks. I mean, because Raider Nation is so strong as an NFL fan base. You know, the black hole is just
terrible.
That's all you got to say.
And terrible.
Just anybody with any kind of NFL knowledge is going to be like, yeah, the Oakland Raider fans are crazy. The black hole, man, I want to go just to see it. You know, like it's a bucket list item that now is being taken off the bucket because it won't longer be valid. But, you know, money talks. And that's why you see San Diego losing their team. That's why you're going to see Oakland lose their team. And it's really bad for those two cities and those fan bases. But, yeah, when Bank of America – I would have said no until Bank of America stepped in with that, you know, $750 million proposal. And I think that pretty much sealed it.
Rob Ford?
Oh, I totally agree. And as JQ mentioned, the money talks. $750 million in public funds toward a new stadium. I mean, that sealed the deal. I know you're going from – even though Oakland – as JQ mentioned, the city is struggling, but they're in the sixth largest TV market in the country. And San Francisco, Oakland, and San Jose, that whole Bay Area is one television market. So now you're going to Las Vegas, which is the 40th largest TV market in the country. But you still got $750 million in public funds already to build a new stadium. You only need about maybe $350,000 more of your own money, $350 million. I'm sorry, of your own money to get into the $1.1 billion stage to build your own stadium. Sorry, I had to get my math right, ladies and gentlemen. Yeah. So, but yeah, I mean, so now you're talking about you only have to put up $350 million of your own money to build a $1.1 billion stadium. It's probably gonna be worth more than that when it's all said and done. But you're more than halfway there from the spending standpoint and the cost of building the state-of-the-art new stadium. You're in Las Vegas. You got hotels galore. Next thing you know, the NFL is probably going to be having Super Bowls there before you know it. And I think the NFL, even though they're losing a team in the sixth largest market in the country and going to the 40th, you just got two new teams in Los Angeles, the second largest TV market in the country. So the NFL feels like, hey, we can take that loss there. We finally got teams in the second largest market. There's still a team in the Bay Area in San Francisco. The NFL, I think, is going to approve. They're going to get the 24 out of 32 votes that they need next week at the owners' meeting in Phoenix.
Mm-hmm. I think your favorite person, Roger Dell, got like a little side deal here, Roger. Take this extra, you know, couple million dollars to keep make this happen, man. It's money talk, man.
Yeah. You play slots for free, baby. You can come play slots for free forever if you give us a team.
And what Rob said actually made sense too. I can see some crap like that happen because you're wondering like where they get the money from. Then you look at the whole structure about it. You're wondering where the fan base is going to come from. You know, like I said, so yeah, I want to look at some numbers as far as how populated Vegas is from that standpoint, because I guess it's going to be, hey, let's fly in, let's catch a game, let's fly out. I mean, you're going to get some fans out there just kind of experience that. And maybe I am curious as far as like how many fans in Vegas are going to be, you know, that, or if people are going to make a trek from, you know, Oakland to Las Vegas or something like that too, man. So I don't know. It could be an interesting scenario actually for Vegas. I mean, you probably need like an influx of people that maybe be Raiders fans or something like that. So that's something I can think about. I do think it sucks because, as you said, JQ, it is an awesome thing to see, like the black hole, and you know to hear players talk about how they want to go and just experience that too. Batters getting thrown at them, you know, folks talking about you. It's just an experience, man. So, I mean, I don't think you can ever duplicate that to the fullest, but you know, the NFL once again proving that they can pretty much care less about our souls. Anyway, all right, we got about 15 minutes left here, guys. We'll talk about that later, too, because I'm going to comment about the NBA and resting players, man. Let's talk about, Rob's second favorite quarterback, Jay Cutler. And I guess the question is, has he thrown his last pass in the NFL? And on a side note, there were some reports that he was kind of close to going to the Jets, so I'm kind of curious as far as if the Jets don't get their player. So I'm not going to totally rule this out, but as of now, you know, he hasn't gotten any biters, but, you know, it's still early, I would say. So that's my comment, but I'll let you kind of have your say on this, Rob.
My take on this is that he has not thrown his last pass in the NFL. I don't know if it's going to be the Jets, but some team is going to take a chance on him that's in desperate need of a quarterback. And it might be after the draft.
Cleveland.
It might be kind of like
Cleveland.
The way how teams may be waiting to see how things shake out after the draft and see if they was able to acquire a quarterback that they kind of desire, had sights on. And so it may be a situation where teams are waiting to see what happens after the draft and see if they have a quarterback that they like or what have you. And but I definitely don't think he's thrown his last pass in the NFL. He still is very talented. He may not have it upstairs between the ears, but he definitely has the arm strength and the talent. And the question is, can he stay healthy and can he stay focused? But I think there'll definitely be a needy quarterback team that takes a chance on him.
Man, freaking Jeff George all over again. Hey, Jake, your thoughts?
That's who he is. That's who he is. He's Jeff George 2.0.
Mm-hmm.
But I agree with Rob, and I think he's going to end up being in that same boat with, say, like an Adrian Peterson, where they're going to have to wait after the draft where everybody feel like they got what they want. You know, you have the first, second, and third wave of free agency go by. You have the draft, and then people sit back and then evaluate the roster and say, okay, what can we do now? Because the teams we talked about earlier, you know, and there's some dark horses in there, and not that I've heard any reports of it, but, you know, how comfortable if Houston doesn't get a Romo or a quarterback they fall in love with, how comfortable are they with Tom Savage being their quarterback with a playoff-ready team but not a quarterback?
Yeah.
Do they take the chance? To the team you just talked about earlier, Arizona, you know, maybe he cools his Jets for a year and he maybe picks up some things from Carson Palmer, and they're like, okay, you know, we've got at least an established a bridge quarterback for 2 to 3 years so we can get a young guy up to speed to where we want him to be. So I don't think he's thrown his last pass, but I think he's going to be chilling for a little bit till after the draft to find out where exactly his market is going to shape up for. But he may end up going to a better situation than going to maybe inking with the Jets, even though that's a guaranteed starting gig. He may have to go somewhere and let somebody flounder or get hurt in front of him, like a Houston or an Arizona, and then get his shot. So it's all about what he wants and he's willing to settle for as well. You know, if he can't be the starter out the gate, will he take that? Or will he retire? Or will he say, you know what, I'll buy my time? Because these guys in front of me, a Palmer is close to retirement, and a Tom Savage is just totally unproven. He can't go back to Denver, though.
Nah,
no,
I agree. Latavius Murray did a Rob move, has ankle surgery, and like, surprise, suckers! Signed to the Vikings and has ankle surgery right after. What's up with that, Jake? What do you think about that? Was that just kind of like one of those things? They know about this? Now, I'm not really sure how long he's out, but was this a good move? Or
I'm sure
they
did. I'm sure they did because, you know, most teams that are worth their salt will make you have to take a physical and look at your medicals to figure out where you are. But, you know, we're still in early March, and we're not talking about OTAs until, you know, July or somewhere in there. So he's got more than enough time to have the surgery and get rehab. And I just don't think – I think they knew. There's no way that they went and signed him – let Peterson go and sign him to not know that about his ankle. I think they knew, but I think they knew that his ankle wasn't so bad – that whatever, you know, that surgery that he had would keep him from being back to the level that he was this past year, the past couple of years. But I think they knew, and it probably just is one of those things of, you know, go ahead and have it now. You know, we're going to sign you. We want you, and especially at this price. Have the surgery now. You know, rehab here at the facility. Stay in Minnesota, even though it's probably 5 degrees. But stay here after in rehab and learn the offense as well as you can. And then, you know, we'll just move forward from that. So I don't know if it's necessarily a big deal. I would be shocked if they didn't know that his ankle needed surgery.
Go ahead, Rob.
Well, yeah, I totally agree with that. The Vikings were the situation prior to going into. He's going to be ready for the regular season. The Vikings were aware of the situation. So I think the media is making a bigger deal out of it than what it is. But he'll be ready to go by training camp. And the Vikings are very aware of that. So I don't think it's a big deal at all.
Mm-hmm. Man, he made it sound like it was a big deal. Man, I thought it was okay. Never mind. All right. Here we go.
It wasn't ACL.
Let's talk about this.
It was an ankle.
Yeah. It's
you know what
right.
I mean?
Well. It's good. So this is an interesting point. And this has been something that also I know, again, I know you're sick of hearing about Michigan, but this is interesting that your boy Harbaugh made a note about this, that Torrey Smith, ex-quarterback receiver, said that Colin Kaepernick has more skill than any quarterback that has been signed. And I guess, yeah, what do you think about that, Rob?
Well, I don't think there's been like a great list of quarterbacks that's been signed in this free agency. So, I mean, you very well have a good point. I mean, come on, let's go through the names of quarterbacks. And maybe Mike Glennon might be the best one out there that signed. I mean, come on, man. What have you seen Mike Glennon? Mike Glennon, don't get me wrong, he might turn out to be an all-pro. But we still haven't seen what Mike Glennon can do. And obviously, I mean, we got Josh McCown to the Jets. Come on, I mean, you might have a point there. I mean, I don't think it's
Ryan
been
Boyer.
Like a huge big signing out there to say that there's somebody that's clear-cut better than Colin Kaepernick. But, I mean, Colin Kaepernick definitely hasn't proven that he can do it either in the last few years. It's just like he had that great run initially with Harbaugh, and it's been all downhill since. And I think there are a lot of political things behind the scenes that may be costing Kaepernick another look at a job here. And it's going to come down to probably again after the draft for him as well.
True.
Yeah, well, that's true. And you're right. And the piece of it is everything you just said about him, and, you know, I threw in Brian Hoyer going also to San Francisco, I believe, as well. That's not nothing, you know, to light the world on fire as well. But the issue is that Colin has had such a slide here recently that with the circus, whether you want to not disagree that it's a circus or not, but he's going to have that come with him. And everybody on that team is going to have to answer questions about what's Kaepernick doing in the locker room. Is he trying to get people, you know, to join the Black Panther Party and all the kind of ridiculousness that people are going to ask, you know, during the course of the dead period, especially here as we in between the draft and training camp, that you're going to have that circus to come to town. And if he was balling and he had that circus coming to town, he'd already be signed. But the fact that, you know, he may be a little bit better than those guys we just talked about, but those guys are coming with none of the baggage that Kaepernick is coming with, is why they get signed and he doesn't. So it's a little bit of both. I think his play is part of it. I think it's a bigger part that people want to give it credit for because he hasn't really played great. But it also is the politics and everything else that comes with it. But you know, like I know, if you have the talent, I would deal with the circus if you're going to win me ball games and help me keep my job as a head coach and get me to the playoffs. But if we're like, I don't really know if he's going to revert back to that 2014 or whatever form, but we're still going to have to deal with this, you know, every day about if he's standing in the locker room when we play, is he still going to stand on the field, you know, is he trying to get people to Black Lives Matter. Like, all those things are going to come with it. I don't think his talent is outweighing all those other sidebar questions and media circus that's going to come with it. So people are kind of like, you know, I'm good, you know, I'm chilling. He really made a mistake of opting out. He should have forced San Francisco's hand to cut him. When he opted out, he basically let them off the hook.
Nice call. All right. I kind of agree in that situation too, man, that, you know, Colin, he's probably – it's just a confidence thing with him, man. But you are right, JQ. There's a lot of baggage that's associated with him, and you know, you got to definitely – you got to hope that it calms down too, man. I think it's interesting, man. I don't know if what's going to happen to Colin. I mean, there's a couple teams that, you know, maybe it's resurrection, you know. Like I said, Cleveland had some sort of interest there, so spoke about that too, or, you know, so interesting enough. We'll see how that plays out, like I always say. All right, we are switching gears. We're going to talk NBA, and we got about 6 minutes here, so just keep that in mind. I did want to actually add this topic when we talk about the five most hopeless NBA teams, because I'm sure Rob's got some things to add. But an interesting topic that I was thinking about that actually popped up a couple of days ago, and it was talking about, you know, certain teams that are resting players. And, you know, I'm setting the scenario, like, let's say that you're going to, you know, your game, you want to see LeBron James play, and then all of a sudden you find out that your boy is resting on the bench. Now, you know, I've paid my tickets, blah, blah, blah. That could be very, very frustrating. So is this something you think is going to be a huge problem for the NBA? And I know, you know, the Greg Popovich of the world, they rest certain players, and if you're a fan, you'd rather not have them hurt. But you still want to see a player, man. So do you think it's a good thing, bad thing? I'm curious to get your thoughts about that. And you know, if not, maybe there's a way to kind of, you know, split those games up, maybe have, you know, not have back-to-backs, but kind of spread that out too. So I'll let you start with that, JQ, and then we'll throw it to Rob as we get ready to wrap up this first part of the show.
Yeah, and you just hit on what I was going to say. Putting those marquee games in the back-to-back, you know, in this era of the NBA, whether you like it or not, they're going to rest these guys just because it's taxing. And it sucks for the fans, don't get me wrong. You know, when you only play a team in the Western Conference, which, like in your example, if you're Cleveland, and you rest them when you go to Memphis, you know, around Christmas, when you know people bought Christmas presents for those tickets to see LeBron, that's very deflating. And but they're going to have to do something, because all this new money that's coming into the league is based off of the broadcast deals they just signed. And if they don't get that bang in the buck of seeing these marquee players play in marquee games, then it's going to be a letdown, and the broadcast partners are going to want to renegotiate. And they may not be able to do it in this deal, but you can please believe that they're going to keep that in mind the next time they come to the bargaining table. They're going to be like, hey, yo, you know, if we give you this kind of money, these dudes got to play. And I read one interesting thing online, and you would have to work out the details. But if you are, as a coach, know you're not going to play your players, you know, do you tell the other team, the opposing team, hey, we're not playing these guys, so we're making them available for autographs for, you know, an hour before the game, an hour after the game to make up for it. So when you go to the game, you bought those tickets, you could take a picture with them. You know what I mean? Something like that.
Yeah.
So you make it more fan-friendly, that if you're going to rest them, at least they get a chance to, you know, see them or interact with them outside of them being on the court. But they're going to have to address this because, again, money, 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 money. When you just signed that big deal and the Mike Collins of the world become, you know, the highest played player in the league or whatever he is now, you know, you can't take the money and then not give the fans what they want to see. So they're going to have to work out some kind of happy medium between the two.
I agree. Go ahead, Rob.
Well, yeah, definitely there's a lot of things that need to be changed. I think, number one, the NBA have to give these teams off at least a couple of nights prior to national televised game. And so that way these teams can feel like their players are rested and not coming off of back-to-back, as JQ just mentioned. So I think they have to set up the schedule going forward that these teams have at least a couple of nights off prior to the national televised game. And you don't. And also these teams cannot – they need to force some kind of rule that they cannot do this on a national televised game on the regular season. And so the NBA has to enforce that, but they also have to help the teams as well. They also can't give them these back-to-backs or six games and eight nights kind of schedule going up until a national televised game. So that has to take place. Any other games, it's got to be up to the coach's discretion, because right now the most important thing for these NBA teams, I think every NBA head coach that knows they have a chance at winning the championship knows that the most important thing going into the playoffs is health, not even home court advantage anymore. I mean, I don't think the Cavaliers care about home court advantage. They care about being healthy for the playoffs. I think that's the Warriors' focus. That's the Spurs' focus right now. I say don't do it for national televised games. But any other game the rest of the season has got to be the coach's discretion. They want these guys rested. They want them healthy. They want them ready for the playoffs. They don't even care about home court advantage if they have to lose a couple of games by the rest of these players.
Yeah, but the thing about that, Rob, is for those ones that aren't national televised games real fast, I think you have to do that thing where you make them accessible to the fans, some kind of interaction or something that you do for them, because you still have that piece of, you know, if you're only going to play one game against a Western Conference team and vice versa for the West versus the East, and I'm paying my money to see the Warriors come to Atlanta, or, you know, I'm in the West Conference and I'm paying my money to see Cleveland come to my city, you know, and they don't play, but it's not necessarily a nationally televised game, I'm still a fan in that city that's paying the NBA, you know, coffers with my money, and you also need to do right by me as well. So they're going to have like a multifaceted approach to this kind of problem to see the way they can do it for both sides of it.
Absolutely.
That's a great call. Yeah, if you're spending that much money, you have to be compensated somehow. And I think that's a great idea, having, you know, hey, we're not going to play. But, you know, yeah, that's your kind of
– I don't think teams should do it on away games either. I think that's – they shouldn't do it at all on away games. Yeah, if you're going to do that, do it to your home fans. Your home fans should be more understanding what your ultimate goal is.
And more opportunity to see you play.
Your home fans will see your key players most of the season. So do that at home. Don't do it on the road.
Yep.
Agreed.
All right, Rob. 40 seconds, Rob. Go ahead and we got to wrap this up because we got a little long with that, too. So, yeah, go ahead and wrap up for the OT portion, sir.
Next week, people, we're going to be back on the air tonight. Can we do Thursday night next week, fellas?
Is that
NCAA or no?
No. We'll be in the Final Four, so it won't be no Thursday night next week.
Yep. Thursday. Yeah, I think that's fine.
All right, we're going to be on the air Thursday night next week, people. You don't want to miss it. It's going to be March 30th. We're getting you ready for the NFL draft. We're getting you ready for the Final Four next weekend. We got a lot to talk about, NBA playoff stretch run. You don't want to miss us on next Thursday night. Thanks for tuning in. We'll be back with you on next week. Good night, people.
Thank you.
Absolutely. Love you, good people. Holler at you next week.
Don't forget our OT portion.
Yeah, we're already there. We're already there, bro. We're already there, man. Hey, good call. That was on me. I went a little ham on that last topic, so I apologize about that too. But I figured that was good to talk about for sure because it was just one of those things where it's going to be a hot topic moving forward too, man. So keep that in mind. All right, Rob, talk about the five most hopeless teams in the NBA.
Whew. Might be more than five, but we're going to start with five. What are the Philadelphia 76ers going to get it right?
Oh,
man, now we got Joel Embiid out with another surgery. He's got a torn meniscus. He's got a bone bruise. They keep trading away the players that they're drafting, even though they are having a better season than they did last season. So I still have them in this category. Brooklyn, they're another team that look like they're nowhere near close to turning it around anytime soon. And so they have a long way to go, obviously. These top three or four picks in this draft looks to be really good players in this year's NBA draft. So if they can get one of those players, they might have some hope going forward. And JQ's team, the Lakers, they started the season, looked like they were ready to turn it around. They still not there yet. So, you know, we'll see if Magic Johnson could attract some free agents to Los Angeles. And that might be your best hope. But right now they're in that category. The Phoenix Suns, they're another team that looks like they're a long way away as well. And also the Orlando Magic.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, the Lakers, they got a collection of talent, but they need an alpha male. They just don't have it. I think that's the same thing for Phoenix as well. And Philadelphia, just with the injury bug, has just been unworldly with what's happened with them. It's unfathomable what's happened with them. And then the way they keep landing, you know, after the ping pong balls are announced, and then, you know, it's the same position that they keep drafting.
Yeah, we've seen Ben Simmons yet.
Right. You know, so I'm going to give them a little bit of an asterisk because, you know, they've done – if you're saying I'm tanking to get this, they've done that piece, but then they haven't always gotten the number one pick. And then in that draft for that year, it keeps falling back-to-back to where it's like a power forward, a power forward, a power forward. So, you know, it kind of sucks for them. I'm going to go to Sacramento because they are a hot dumpster fire that, you know, there is no amount of water and fire extinguisher fluid that can put that out. You know, when you come out and say, yeah, I had a better trade for Boogie 2 days ago, but I didn't make it, so I made a worse trade today. Like, dude, don't tell nobody that. Why would you say that out loud? You know, don't even say that out loud to yourself, let alone to a group of reporters. They are nowhere near, to me, in my opinion, getting ready to turn around. They need a full-blown overhaul of the front office before they even have a shot in the dark and getting it back. And then one more, you know, we're going to have to go to New York because they talking about running the triangle exclusively next year. Carmelo just looks worn down and beat from having to deal with that. I like Porzingis, but you just can't win with Porzingis. I mean, I don't see them either, you know, being able to make a move for real. You know, Phil doesn't even talk to the media for real, even though he's telling them you got to run the triangle. It's like, hey, bro, then why don't you coach the team? You know, don't make that dude run the triangle and make them players, you know, run that triangle and then you sit up on high and you don't talk to nobody, but y'all going to do this. I don't know if he's intentionally sabotaging, you know, his former team or what, but the Knicks are a dumpster fire. It's amazing that you can have New York basically being so-called the mecca of basketball and the two teams that both of us are talked about are both New York teams. I mean, that's just got to be a black eye because New York is, outside of the Giants, is not a big football kind of area. It's more basketball, and to have the two basketball teams just be, you know, terrible, you know, poo-poo platters is got to be a slap in the face of the New York, the Tri-City area residents. It's got to be. Got to be.
They have more problems than Van Camp's at pork and beans.
Oh! He was waiting to use that line, too, man. He was like, I'm going to use this line. I'll tell you this about Philadelphia, and you thought they had it right with Ben Simmons, but remember, I'm going to harken this back. Remember the Clippers? The Clippers were just as bad. Remember how, man, you're like, oh, my God, Clippers, they kept drafting number one, and they just kept Michael Olajuwon candy, and it was bad, man. Now they're pretty respectful.
Not the candy man.
It took some time. And, you know, they finally – because remember, they were what – they used to be the laughing stock of the league, man. So I still think Philadelphia can turn around. You know, go ahead, JQ, but I'm just saying that there's a little better hope. Go ahead.
Yeah, I'm just saying, but the Clippers got a huge assist from David Stern. And, yeah, as a Lakers fan, I'm still bitter at the vetoing of that trade. And that's what helped the Clippers start that ascension, and that also kind of sped the Lakers down into their abyss. So, you know, unless, you know, Adam Silver steps in and gives, you know, Philadelphia a player pass, I don't think it's going to happen anytime soon for them, so to speak, unless they can find somebody that fits their draft slot this time that's not a power forward. I mean, that's really what they need at this point. They need somebody else outside of the 4 or 5 spot that they can draft, and they won't be a laughing stock, and rightfully so, for overvaluing somebody just because they don't want to draft, you know, a person to fill a slot, a log jam that they already have. So it's tough for them given the injuries in the draft slots that they've had happen to them due to the bouncing of the ping pong balls.
I'm with you. Like I said, I was just trying to give some hope because, freaking Clippers should be so bad. But, you know, maybe they didn't get the assist, but it did show you that. I mean, it could take some time, but, you know, Sacramento, they weren't that great. I mean, back in the day they were, but there's some squads that you're like, oh, you know, it was pretty bad. But, you know, you can turn things around for sure, man. But, yeah, good call. I know we already mentioned Joel Embiid. We talked about him. He's going to go in that surgery. I don't know if it's bad luck because he looked like he was actually turning it around too, so. I'm hoping that, but it's just – I think it's kind of bad look for him, man. But,
yeah,
you know,
he's having a great year.
That's all I got. Yeah,
he was.
Yeah, so.
You stole him from him in the draft. Ha ha. I ain't forgot.
Oh, it's a beautiful thing. What?
I ain't forgot, Dre.
Who stole him?
You
what
did.
Are you talking about? Oh, man.
You drafted him and you stole him. That's what I was like, oh, damn you, Dre. Yeah, I ain't forgot.
Yeah. I thought we were done with that, bro. Hey, man, let's move on, man. Let's move on. let's do some fantasy shout-outs.
Eddie Murphy.
Rob, we'll talk about. Let's do some fantasy shout-outs.
Fantasy shout-outs. We down in the semifinals. Semifinals. So I know JQ, last I saw, he was up 7-1 in his matchup for the week. And I was up 6-2 in my matchup for the week. So we'll see if we both can keep it going and we'll have two of the hosts of the show going for the championship next week, but obviously there's still a lot of basketball to be played this remaining week. I think in the consolation round last week, the Drutes had the biggest win, 8-0 over the Madhouse on Madison. So obviously there's still some basketball to be played. Let's have some fun.
I'm shining hard, too, man. I like it. Good.
Also, JQ and I are going head-to-head in our bracket challenge, too. I think I'm up to lightning on him right now.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was picking crazy stuff. I was like, hey, I want a full-blown ridiculousness to happen in March Madness. Because it normally happens. So, yeah, I picked wild stuff. I really did. And for the fantasy basketball, you know, everybody that's been listening to the show, it's really been me and Rob, and I got to give Ronald St. Falcons 23 a lot of love as well. But it's really been the three of us, and me and him really 1-2 for the past, oh, God, maybe like the past 10, 11 weeks. So it just seems like it's just due justice that we should probably meet for the title. I mean, it is what it is, you know, at this point. Rob's got a good team. It's going to be hard, but let's not count any chickens. We both still got to make it through Sunday, which is and see what happens. And then we can talk some smack to each other next Thursday. Because if we have the show next Thursday, we'll have a really good look at where we are in terms of a matchup with me and Rob, in terms of who's up and if can anybody come back. And so the fantasy shout-outs next week will be it might be really interesting.
Should be fun.
Congrats you too, man. Happy that you guys are doing that, man. You know, so I got my title. I admit I kind of like laxed out because I already got a title, so I'm just kind of like, you know, I'm just kind of sitting enjoying the ride, man. So, you know, I'll let you guys
have
that.
Never be satisfied,
so
homie.
I'm always satisfied, bro. You know, that's what it is, bro. You know, that's what it's all about. The one
start calling you Lazy Dre.
Not at all. The one week, I literally lost it. I was clicking on
like Crazy Greedy on Sanford and Son. Lazy Dre.
Dre was
trying to get into the playoffs. I was watching what he was doing. He was trying to get in. I saw you.
What happened was, I was like the first couple weeks I was hitting like trying
to get in. People, what happened?
No, I'm just telling you the truth. I'm telling you the truth. And I was like, oh, I'm hitting the button. I'm like, wait a minute. It's putting, like, injured players in there. So I quickly, readjusted that strategy, and it's all good. But, you know, next year, I got y'all. It's all good. Let's talk about some five NBA playoff predictions. I forgot to talk about the Duke's Jason Tatum, man. You talk about Duke, like, effing me over once again, man. Good thing I didn't have Villanova. That would have been really bad. But we got about 5 minutes. So I don't want to talk about this because this is a good point. Somebody talked about brands, right? Brands for, like, you know, whenever you're picking, you know, store stuff, blah, blah. And there's certain teams that are, like, brands, like, you know, college basketball teams. And Duke's a brand, so you keep picking them. You'll pick the Gonzagas. And that hasn't seemed to be the case, man. So interesting call. Duke's Jason Tatum says he's one and done. What's up with that, Rob?
Well, the guy is a top-notch prospect. I have him going number 3 in the draft right now. So, I mean, he's super talented. He's got a ton of potential. And I think he's even got potential to possibly be the best player in this draft. But obviously, Lonzo Ball and Markelle Fultz, I have them still at 1 and 2. But Jason Tatum is surefire number 3 at worst in this draft. He has that kind of athletic ability.
Wow. Go ahead, Jake.
I don't think that you have a necessarily a surefire 3. I agree with those first two. And you may find out in some semblance of order they go, you know. And the only way I think Ball falls is because of his daddy, you know, just talking reckless.
Yeah.
But he's crazy. I don't think Monk is going to be high. You know, he was been slotted for a good part of this year as the number 3 pick or 4 pick. I think it's wide open at the 2. And you really – Tatum has played well, and he played well down the stretch. And that's what helped him as well. When the games mattered the most, when they were trying to win the ACC and win the ACC tournament, he really stepped his game up. And I can't stand Duke, so, you know, it's no homerism for me. Yeah, it's no homerism for me on that. But that dude is just an unequivocal stud, and I can see him going 3rd in this draft. So, you know, you got to strike when the iron is hot. And it's a thing nowadays that if you're a good basketball player and you don't come out after your freshman year, there's something is wrong with you. So you almost have to, if you play well enough, you have to come out, because it seems like the longer you stay in school, the further your draft stock slips. So, you know, to me, it's a no-brainer for him to come out right now.
Yeah, it's kind of sad, man, because, you know, you're not going to have any more Tim Duncan's of the world, feels like that, and taking this 4 years of role development, become, like, great. But I get it, man. It is what it is, man, unless you're just, like, not as highly regarded. Let's see here. Mm-hmm. I guess we'll kind of wrap this up too, Rob. We got about 3 minutes here, so you can quickly get 30 seconds in about some NFL playoff predictions that are going to happen, and we'll go from there. Surprise, surprise.
Well, Steph Curry is going to move into 2nd place on all-time 3-pointers made in playoff history. I think that's a given. The Cavs will win the East, and nobody will take them 7 games in the Eastern Conference. The Clippers, once again, will not make it past the 2nd round. The Bucks, as the number 7 seed, will challenge either the Celtics or the Raptors. The Cavs won't have home court advantage in the NBA Finals. Those are my 5 surefire predictions in the playoffs.
Go ahead, JQ.
I'm just going to go with 1. We're going to get the trilogy. It just has to happen. The Cavs and the Warriors for the bragging rights for the rubber match. That's all we care about.
I mean, this
is all great and well,
yeah.
You know. It's great for fantasy basketball to play and watch people do what they do. Once the playoffs hit, you know, I think Boston has a good team. I like the Wizards team as well. I don't know how good you're going to get Lowry back to just throw on Cleveland. I think Cleveland wins the East. And then, you know, the only thing that I would like to see a shocking thing with Houston, because I think they almost had the firepower to go a full 7 games with Golden State and just have one of those old ABA kind of games where it's like 120 to 117 every game. But I think the playoffs.
It might be 140 to 145.
Easily.
I was trying to be conservative. So, but I just think the trilogy is bound to happen. I think that's what we're all really waiting on, to be quite honest.
Good call. All right, Rob, end it. You got a minute to end it, Rob.
Sweet 16 basketball. I picked Duke to go to the Final 4. I'm happy they eliminated, though. I still think Kansas will make it. I had Kentucky beating UCLA. I think UCLA is going to beat Kentucky now. And I think UCLA-North Carolina is going to be some kind of matchup in the Elite Eight. I still like Arizona to take out Gonzaga. I still like Arizona to go to the Final 4. Now, the other region, man, I think it's Florida, Wisconsin. I think I have to go Florida at this point. But that's the way we're looking for the Sweet 16. And if we'll get you caught up for the Final Four on next week, people. Thursday night, 11 p.m. Eastern, 10 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Pacific. For our friends in Hawaii, that'll be 5 p.m. Aloha. Good night, people.
Shout out to Mara.
Yeah, I pick you. Yeah, I pick Kansas to win it all. I just think they had the easiest road, and I think it's still proven to be that. I'm going to go with Bucky in Wisconsin in that wide open region out of Villanova and Duke are gone. And I believe I took Arizona as well in the other region. And you know what, NCAA? I don't appreciate you putting us in that region with North Carolina and UCLA and Kentucky. For real, that's how you do it? You go ship us out west and make us play UCLA and Sacramento? Why don't you just not put us in the tournament if that's how you feel about us? Because you basically just signed a death warrant. I see you. I did not pay your dues, man. That
man,
was,
there's
that
no
was
crying in college basketball.
Man, that is a ridiculous bracket, and you know it. Yes, sir.
Good night, people.